All right, Kevin Bard. 3-0, the Toronto Blue Jays have beaten the San Diego Padres in the first game of this three-game series at the Rogers Center. Pretty much what the doctor ordered, a two-run home run from Anthony Santander. I mean, a heat-seeking missile. Vladdy had a home run as well. Chris Bassett, very good through six innings. And, well, I would say maybe a little bit of a surprise relief appearance from Yariel Rodriguez in the eighth. We'll talk about that later on. Kevin, first, though, the dominant story, I would think, you know, obviously Chris Bassett's pitching was great, but folks are going to be leaving the ballpark tonight talking about seeing the Jays score all their runs and home runs and seeing Anthony Santander hit that much-needed home run. And if you don't believe me it was much-needed, all you had to do was look at the reaction of the Blue Jays dugout, and that ball cleared the wall.
Yeah, it's almost like everything that we talked about on our show today sort of came alive right in front of us, right? I mentioned the quality starts that they needed. They had 14 coming in today. Chris Bassett went 7 starts between quality starts. His last one was April 5th. He had one today. He was excellent. The sinker arm side was tremendous. You mentioned it. This is the first time that Vladdy and Tony have had a homer in the same game. I talked about that today, right? You want to earn your money, you do it against guys like Dylan Cease. You get a good pitch. He don't give you a lot of them. When you do get them, you got to hammer them, right? What have I been saying for like 3 weeks? This team can slug if they let the dude throw it down the middle, right? The fastball that Vladdy obviously in his first at-bat was looking for. He saw how he was pitching the bow. He was getting heaters. Nobody can hit the slider. Why go up and look for it? You get one, it's middle up. You get the head out, which you hadn't been doing. Right, I mean, we saw the last series that all the Tigers were doing were throwing him fastballs, and you mentioned Tony hitting the hanging slider. Hanging sliders go a long way. So, yeah, it's exactly what the doctor ordered, right? You turned it over to a good bullpen, too. Don't want to forget those guys, Little, Yariel, and Hoffman. I mean, that's how you lead off a series against a good team, right? You have good starting pitching, your best hitters. Well, coming into the season, we expected those two dudes to be two of the best hitters that the Jays have. Get the hits when they mattered the most, turn it over to bullpen, play good defense. Other than Barger getting picked off at third on the line drive to first, it's almost a perfect day, Jeff.
Dylan Cease, 52 sliders today, 67 sliders in his last start. It's not often that you see a guy throw that many sliders, Kevin. As a hitter, now you know that it's his best pitch. But as a hitter, when you have an idea that the guy might be throwing that many sliders, how do you have to adjust your thinking, or do you have to adjust your thinking?
Well, I mean, if they were watching their buddy in front of them, he's going glove side with the slider. If it's glove side, I'm taking it until two strikes. Nobody else can hit it. Why would you go up and look for it? Look for something straight. Look right down the middle. Dylan Cease is one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's one of the best pitchers because he can locate power, and he can locate something spinning, and occasionally he'll flip a slower little breaking ball to a left-handed hitter, which changes speeds and takes the sting out of it if he's facing that certain guy a third time through. So for me, I'm eliminating glove side. Can't hit it anyway. Why look for it? I'm hoping he throws one down the middle and looking for something hard. His hard fastball is straight. That's basically the only chance I got. And if he hangs a slider because I'm looking velocity and I'm in an athletic position, that at least gives me a chance to do exactly what Tony Taters did. Is you get it, you don't miss it. So for me, that's the approach you have to take against that guy, right? You ain't going to get a bunch of hits. You know, you're trying to do exactly what they did, which is have Kirky have a good at bat, take the good 3-2 slider middle away, pitcher's pitch. Can't hit it anyway, but Kirky's been having quality at bats. Pass the baton to the guy Kahneman up on the on deck circle. Hopefully he gets a hanging slider, and that's exactly what happened. So yeah, I mean, you build off of this. Sometimes guys like this tell you where you're at mechanically and mentally. Hopefully, Tony, even though he punched out in his last bat, I mean, it was an eight pitch punch out, he still looked like he had a little bit more confidence than he did the day before, which is all you can ask, right? I mean, they're not asking him to get, you know, 3 hits a night. They're asking him to go 1-for-4 with a 2-run homer. Gain some confidence, get a good pitch to hit. If you do, get it down on time. You know, have better hand direction, which looks like to me tonight, at least he was having a chance to get and barrel the ball because of his hand direction. Gives you a chance to let your talent take over. And, You know, they need to do more of this. Vladdy and Tony need to hit more home runs the same night. If they do that, they got a chance.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590. If you want to text us, we'll read your text. 590-590 is the text line. It is a winning edition of Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. The Blue Jays beating the San Diego Padres 3-0. The Jays took the lead in the first inning on Vladdy's home run. And, Kevin, that was their 16th first-inning run. Sorry, 17th first-inning run this year, which is second lowest in the majors.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things John Schneider said pregame was he thought there would be some importance or some significance to grabbing an early lead. Now, I'm sure he's thinking about more of 2-0 and more like 2-0 and 3-0 as opposed to just 1-0. But it certainly did set a different tone for the game, especially after Chris Bassett comes out and strikes out Manny Machado. It strikes out Jackson Merrill, Kevin, with two pitches that were elevated. You know, we've talked about Kevin Gausman having his home run issues, that brief blip. We talked about, what, six starts between quality starts?
Seven starts.
Different Chris Bassett, it looked like today.
Yeah, look, again, 1-0's not a ton when you're facing a team like the Padres, but I get what John's talking about, right? It just allows you to try and execute your plan because, you know, most good starting pitchers, you know, like Dylan Cease has a tougher first inning, just getting everything in line, having the release point, right, getting in the flow of the game, having your consistent velocity, having the break and the finish and the ball coming out of your fingers the way you want. Bassett's a touch and feel guy. You need that, right? So, you know, just him having the lead. The sinker arm side was excellent. You got to establish that. He was throwing it to lefties on that side of the plate. He was establishing that to righties. That would allow him to elevate the baseball, right? You got to set up the fastball up. The way he was doing it was with arm side run. That's a big deal. You know, he got what he threw, 43 sinkers. He had 18 swings and 10 called strikes. The 10 called strikes out of that 43 was the most important part out of it because of just the hard takes that he had, right? And a lot of pitches were in the zone. The misses were close to the zone. He was 10 for 23 throwing strike one, but I think a lot of that was on purpose, right? He was trying to force sort of his misses to make sure they ain't in the middle of the plate. And I talked about this, I don't know, about a week ago, saying there's that fine line between sometimes you know, whether you want to walk a guy or whether you want to be aggressive. I think this is the point sort of Chris is trying to tell everybody with where the misses were at, how many strike ones he threw. You know, he got 6 out of 6 leadoff hitters out, which is a huge deal. So, yeah, I mean, this is, again, exactly what they need. They need to go on a run of quality starts. You do that, you're going to give a team a lineup that don't score a ton of runs a chance to have a bigger inning, their best hitters being their best hitters, and that's the way you win baseball games.
The Blue Jays are 23-24. They will look to pull themselves back to .500 tomorrow night. Kevin Gausman on the mound for the Blue Jays. Randy Vasquez for the San Diego Padres. 416-870-0590. Star 590. 888-666-0590. 590-590 is the text line. Yariel Rodriguez, Kevin, comes in to pitch the eighth inning for the Blue Jays, gives up a long fly ball to Diaz, and followed by getting Fernando Tatis Jr. and Luis Arraez to ground out. Look, I think a lot of people were expecting Jimmy Garcia to come in that situation, but you know, John Schneider, I think, needs to find that other leverage arm at least until Nick Sandlin gets back here. And I thought this was a perfect chance to run Yariel Rodriguez out there, maybe give him a little more leverage, see what happens here. It's a lot easier to do it with a 3-run lead than a 1-run lead. But what did you make of the decision? What did you make of how Yariel did?
Yeah, I think he's earned it. I mean, John's been on our show a couple of times saying that, you know, he seems to thrive mentally in situations just like this. His last 7 appearances in 9 2/3, he haven't given up a run. His pitches are more competitive. We talked about this, right? The more non-competitive pitches you throw with your 2 fastballs, your 4-seamer and your sinker, basically eliminates your split finger and your slider. When you're competitive with the 2 fastballs, you tend to get more swing and misses. You get those dudes in swing mode. And this is what he's been doing in May. He's been very aggressive. So, yeah, look, I don't think it's so much that, you know, now all of a sudden that Jimmy Garcia is your eighth inning guy. I think he's got multiple options. I mean, I'm okay with Brendan Little. You see Brendan Little, right? He's given up 2 hits in 7 games in May, 8 1/3. No runs. Like, they got guys down there now that, you know, are starting to get in the flow of the season, making quality pitches when they need to make them. John now has multiple options to go to. If they're available, now you got more than one guy who can pitch the eighth inning, which will only make it easier for Pete Walker and John Schneider to flip this thing around. You make even see pockets, right? I mean, I know that it's basically Little throwing the seventh inning because there should have been 3 lefties. You know, they brought in the pinch hitter for the third out, but it was the 2 lefties before that, right? Now it's pockets. If you would have saw 2 righties and a lefty, it would have probably even flip-flopped. I think John's got confidence in certain guys in certain pockets to do the job no matter what inning it is, which allows Jimmy Garcia to sit down there and just sort of save his bullets. The better his bullets are being saved, when you do see him, he's going to be at his best.
416-870-0590, *590, 888-666-0590-590 is the text line. The Blue Jays open up this 3-game series with the San Diego Padres. The power display from Anthony Santander and Vladimir Guerrero Jr., some terrific pitching from Chris Bassitt. 3-0, the Blue Jays win the first game. We're going to step aside and come back, and we'll look at the out-of-town scoreboard. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
The 0-1, swing and a line drive, deep right field, turning around Tatis, it's out of here! How do you like the 6-hole, Anthony Santander? Second Blue Jays homer today, a line drive blast, and it's 3-0 Toronto in the fifth.
John Schneider told us pregame that he moved you down in the order, hoping that it might take just a little bit of pressure off you. What did that do for you mentally, if it did at all? How has that maybe helped you?
That'd be helping a lot, you know. In this game, we have to stay positive. It's a long season. We're going to struggle, but the good thing is to stay positive and put the word every single day, and then it's going to pay off.
That was Anthony Santander in conversation with Hazel May following the Blue Jays' 3-0 win over the San Diego Padres. The Padres have now lost 4 games in a row coming into Toronto after being swept by the Seattle Mariners. 3-0, the Blue Jays victorious tonight over the San Diego Padres. 416-870-0590, *590, 888-666-0590-590. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker along on Blue Jays Talk. So Kevin, Anthony Santander was in the 6th spot tonight. This is, you know, he missed a couple of games with a mental reset and with some hip and shoulder issues as well. George Springer was in the lineup tonight. Anthony Santander hitting 6th. Do you buy? Yeah, that's a wrong way to phrase a question. Do you think that moving Anthony Santander down relieves any pressure off him?
No, I don't. I've been in that position before where I hit at the top of the order and the big leagues got moved to the 8-hole. It sucks. I mean, I can't say it any other way. It does nothing but grind on you and basically shine the spotlight that there's a reason why your manager's moving you down. Now, who am I to say that Tony, you know, is not being real and basically said to Hazel that, yeah, it may take a little pressure off. Again, he's fighting his own demons. Has no matter where he's at in the lineup. You know, it's still about a mechanical approach. It's still about staying through the baseball. It's still about thinking big part of the field. Is the ball going to go there? Probably not. But you got to think that way so you can get barrel. What is that saying? Short to it and long through it. Well, He's long everywhere, whether that's timing off the pitcher, whether that's out and around, whether it's casting, whatever you want to call it, mechanically he's going through some things, right? And, you know, just him having a quality at bat, having success, because I'm sure, you know, he's making his hands bleed in the batting cage trying to figure out these things. And you know, most of the time it's not mechanical. I mean, most of the time, I mean, it seems like it might be a little bit of timing issues with him, more than it would be for me mechanical. That's why you see the out and around, maybe not getting his foot down on time, maybe not starting on time when the pitcher goes, whatever his timing mechanism is off the pitcher, he's a tick off, which, you know, just sort of his barrel's playing catch up. That's why you see his hands sort of going out and around. So never did for me. I mean, who am I to say that, you know, it's not going to help him, but I don't know, you know, who's made a ton of money and wants to get dropped from a three hole to the six hole and says that's going to take pressure off you. You're getting dropped to the six hole because you stink. So for me, I wouldn't think that would do anything other than basically say you stink. You better get your head out of your, you know what, start doing something. So hopefully this is what happens. You know, sometimes I think that's more about what it is than anything. It's an embarrassing part of, you're not getting it done. Your manager tells you not getting it done because we're in win mode. Start doing something so I can move you back up there. And I think that's sort of where Tony's at.
Time now to take a look around the American League East with Bet365. At Bet365, you can bet in popular markets like hits, home runs, and total bases. You can download the app and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19 plus, play responsibly. Ontario only. In addition to tonight's game at the Rogers Center, one more game has gone final in the involving American League East teams. The Boston Red Sox beating the New York Mets 2-0. The Yankees are leading the Texas Rangers 5-0 in the top of the ninth inning. Ben Rice with another home run, Kevin. He's got 10.
Yeah.
So far this year, the Yankees have found something there. The Baltimore Orioles just scored 2 runs. It's the middle of the seventh inning. Milwaukee is still leading them 3-2. And Houston and Tampa, they're tied at 2 in the going into the bottom of the ninth. So the standings, as of this moment, the New York Yankees, 27-19. They're about to go 28-19, 9 games over .500. The Boston Red Sox, they're at .500, 25-25. The Toronto Blue Jays, they're 23-24. Tampa Bay is 21-26. Ahead of that game tonight against Houston. And the Baltimore Orioles, well, they're 15-31, possibly about to go, Kevin, 15-32.
Ouch.
And that is shocking. They have one more win than the Chicago White Sox. And if you had told me that we would ever be talking about that this year, I would have said no way. If you're interested in the standings, the Jays are 2.5 on the wild card, 4.5 back in the
It's never too early to start talking playoffs, dude, okay? Never
yeah,
too
it
early.
It is actually technically too early to start
it is never.
Talking playoffs.
No.
Well, it is.
It is not. Not when you're top five payroll team, it's not.
Yeah. Playoffs are, you know, really that's a word I'm not entirely certain that too many people want to talk about in this particular city at this particular.
Baseball, Jeff. Baseball.
Baseball. John Schneider was asked about his starting pitcher, Chris Bassitt. Chris Bassitt was awfully good tonight.
I mean, we're going to continue to rely on them. I think they know that, and they've talked about how they want to do a little bit more and go a little bit deeper. Chris was awesome from the get-go, and when you can have a lead, it allows a starter to have a little bit more wiggle room in the sixth inning like that when his pitch count's getting – I think it was right at 100 he ended with the strikeout to Bogarts, but it just allows the pitchers to navigate a little bit. But yeah, it's nice operating with a 3-run lead, and you feel comfortable with every guy coming in.
That was John Schneider talking about Chris Bassitt. I mean, my goodness, Kevin, you know, we've talked about the starting rotation. There's been so much focus in Anthony Santander, so much focus on the lack of slug out of this team, that kind of very quietly the starting rotation has started to slip down the rankings in Major League Baseball. There has to be a lot of underlying concern with the starting rotation. But, you know, they are veteran guys. They have been around the block several times. Certainly Berríos and Gausman and Bassitt have, you know, they've had a lot thrown at them since they've been with the Blue Jays. Whether it's Alek Manoah or, you know, Max Scherzer's issue. Really the lack of a fifth starter now for, 2 years. Yeah, It's great that they've talked amongst themselves and that they want to do more. I don't know what much more they can do, Kevin.
I do. I think if you watch Bassett tonight, if you're the other guys, the other guys that matter, I think pinching in is a big deal. I mean, we've seen them in years past. We've seen them pitch down. We've seen them pitch up. It's rare that we've seen them pitch in. I mean, that we've said this, you know, a couple of times, not a very hard throwing rotation. If you're not a hard throwing rotation, you got to establish what called strikes into hitters. That will allow you to elevate with two strikes and get away with things that you normally wouldn't get away with. There's a handful of dudes that can take a fastball on the black and mechanically catch it out front and keep it fair. There's a handful of dudes. There's one or two dudes on that team with the Padres that can do it. Establish there. You do that, you got a chance of going deep, giving them quality starts.
We talked about Yariel Rodriguez, and the manager was asked about going to Yariel Rodriguez in the eighth inning tonight instead of Jimmy Garcia.
I'm just looking at his workload, you know what I mean? I said it on Sunday, I hate pitching him down, you know, and asked him to do that before the off day, so was just trying to stay away from him today, really. Nothing going on at all, just I think kind of that part of the lineup was a good spot for Yariel to have another good outing, you know what I mean, in a higher leverage spot. He continues to kind of answer the bell and make good pitches. So kind of it worked out kind of how we talked about it.
Want to look at the text line for a minute. John in Toronto, Kevin, an interesting thought. In fairness to Rodriguez, he's talking about Yariel Rodriguez. We signed him, then took him out of the role he was so successful in during his career, hoping we can see more late inning appearances from him and make the bullpen that much deeper. And you know, look, this is something I talked about since Yariel Rodriguez was here. I think, I don't know if we're on the same page. I think we were, but I didn't understand, you know, guy whose most recent role was as a closer in Japan, his most recent role professionally was as a closer in Japan. I mean, I understand you're paying the guy money, so you want to get some value out of him, but I mean, I think this should have been his role all along. It was pretty clear, Kevin, that as a starter, he outthought himself. He threw 14 different pitches. I mean, yeah, saw the delay in everything, the up and down with the arm angle. I understand that, you know, the Jays' hands were forced in some ways, but yeah, we probably shouldn't be surprised. And John talked about it. Probably shouldn't be surprised that a guy whose most recent success was out of the bullpen is having success out of the bullpen or feels more comfortable out of the bullpen.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know why they were starting him, because they didn't have anybody else to start. I mean, that's basically right. You're paying him a little bit of money. You know, you don't really have any quality depth at the minor league level. So this is sort of what you exactly trying to do is get the most value out of a guy who's got stuff. I'm with you. Stuff plays better later in the game than it does early in the game. And the second time through, it just seems like he has a tougher time of getting the top of the lineup out. Why give him a chance anymore to do that? Bring him in no matter what the inning is. If John's putting him in the right pocket, like John said he was going to try and do, he's got a chance of having success. Just be competitive with all your pitches. Don't be non-competitive. The more non-competitive you are, I can eliminate location and pitch. When I do that, that makes you have a lesser chance of having a quality outing. He's been around the zone more with four different pitches. You do that, you're going to get a bunch of people out. And, oh, by the way, he's been throwing harder. Not tonight, but that tonight was a little in, a little up, a little away. You're a little everywhere. You're going to have a chance of getting big league hitters out, and that's exactly what happened. Just gives John another option, and he's confident. I think that's the biggest key out of all this thing. He's found a rhythm. He's found a timing. He's found a routine. He's got good stuff. And he's confident that if he goes out there and executes it and he's competitive, he's going to get dudes out. So, yeah, keep putting him in the right pocket, see what he can do.
Drew in Ottawa on the text line, is Springer coming back down to earth, and should he be moved down to allow Barger, who continues to hit well, again, that's Drew, and Santander to move up?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Like his last 15 games, he's hitting somewhere around 150.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think he's like 1-for-22 right now or something like that.
Yeah. It's we knew this. Like, we said this 2 weeks ago. Whatever you're going to get from him, you ride it as long as you can ride it, and then you have to adjust the way you have to adjust, right? I mean, you know, it was nice to see that. Maybe he's not an everyday guy. That's okay, right? I mean, again, he's sort of like a good pitcher out of the pen. You put him in the right pocket against the right guy, maybe not hit him clean up. It's a big, tall ask. You know, do they even have a cleanup hitter other than Santander when he's hitting 40 homers? Probably not. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure you do it now because Tony's still trying to figure things out. But when Tony gets back to being Tony, absolutely. You're either not playing him every single day or you're moving him to the sixth or seventh hole. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not
still,
at all.
Still a good player. He still steals bases, still plays good defense. It's just you got five or six other names you'd rather give that extra bat to George. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, and again, the same thing with Yariel Rodriguez as a starter. I mean, let's be clear. They were they put George where they put him because they really didn't have any other options. Now, and credit George, he took it and ran with it at the start of the year. Arguably their most consistent hitter through the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season.
No question. Yeah.
But, yeah, there does come a time where it's, you know, the game has a way of, I mean, you are what your numbers are. You are what your career are is for the most part. And I think we're at that point with George, and there's nothing wrong with that. I do think when one thing we have seen, and you touched on this, one thing we have seen from George's here is when that move is made, you know, you make it, but you feel a little better. You feel that you might get something out of him at some point this year, which honestly you really didn't last year for the most part.
Yeah, and to the, you know, I hope the Texter's paying attention, and obviously it sounds like he is by mentioning Barger's name. John Schneider's not afraid to move dudes around the lineup, no matter what the name on the back of the jersey says. Mm-hmm. If he thinks George is not getting it done anymore and there's a better option, George would be moved down. I mean, that's where they're at. They're in win mode, and John's fighting to come back and manage again, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, let's remember that too. So he'll do whatever it takes, whenever it takes, which is a good thing.
Chris Bassitt gave up 6 hits tonight. 4 of them were singles. This was Chris Bassitt talking about his start, and in particular, facing Luis Arraez.
Quickly realized I can't strike out Arraez real quick. He's incredible. But yeah, then I think overall one of the biggest weaknesses I would say we've had over the last stretch or so is just starters not doing that well for the first 3 innings. So yeah, I had a lot of emphasis on that. Obviously, it was just first time through. Let's win the first time through, and then kind of settle into the game a little bit, and then just puts less stress, so to speak, on the offense.
And then seeing Vladdy go deep, what was it like to pitch with an early lead?
Yeah, good. One run with this lineup. I mean, San Diego, I don't feel like I really have a lead with that. But yeah, it was good.
That is Chris Bassitt. So let's win the first time through and then let the game settle in. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I like it. Again, I think that's establishing in. You know, if they're, again, they're taking anything away, it doesn't matter how hard you throw, it's where you throw it. If they establish in with called strikes, forcing dudes to get to that ball in, it's very uncomfortable. I used to try and hit, and dudes have longer swings. They're trying to take Big Daddy hacks. Luis Arraez is, you know, not far and few between. There's not a handful of those dudes. You know, that dude's got 11 swing and misses in 162 at-bats.
Well, how about him getting
three punch outs?
And how about
this year?
How about Yariel Rodriguez getting him to whiff on a backup slider?
Three strikeouts in 162 at-bats. Yeah, it's amazing. So, yeah, thank goodness he ain't got power, because if he had power, I mean, that'd be something else. But, yeah, you like that they know what the problem is and they're trying to fix it. You got to figure out what you do well, and you got to go out there and execute it. And I just think start establishing in more. Make dudes uncomfortable with the called strike in, opens up everything else. And I'll bet you if they do that, they will stop giving up so many homers.
Remember, quickly,
I said that.
Very quickly, Kevin Gausman gets a start tomorrow. What did he see tonight? Again, different pitcher than Chris Bassitt, but what did he see tonight that he may want to take into the game?
I use your fastball and up. Use the split finger when you want to use it. He's talking about carrying the zone, getting more called strikes. If you make sure that up and down end game is good, I think, you know, don't be afraid to throw the heater. Throw the heater, have the good velocity. He'll give the lineup a chance.
There we are, the Toronto Blue Jays with a 3-0 win over the San Diego Padres. They'll do it again tomorrow night. A reminder that Thursday is a 1:07 game. It is an afternoon first pitch. We'll be along with Blue Jays talk following both games. And, of course, as always, Blair and Barker from 2 to 4 Eastern on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. So, thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Gander, Newfoundland, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986, so protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.